This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Goldman Sachs gives us a peek into its treasure chest.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, the investment bank Goldman Sachs will announce 39 accounting changes to disclose how it deals with clients and how it makes money through its own investments. Why would the ultra-secret Wall Street institution do such a thing? Well, let's go live to our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale for answers. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what's this all about?
Well, remember, Goldman came under congressional and regulatory scrutiny last year for selling investments in subprime mortgages that were almost certain to lose money. And in fact, Goldman itself was secretly betting its own money that they would fail.
Right.
So Goldman settled a fraud suit last spring with securities regulators for $500 million. So here's this huge successful bank that benefited from taxpayer bailouts, but also took advantage of its clients. And Goldman's now trying to clean up its battered reputation.
Trying to clean up its reputation. And what do these accounting changes do, John?
Well, they're going to separate out the trading and investment that they do with their own money to show how much the bank earns there as opposed to how much profit comes from trading clients' money. There's also going to be new conflict of interest rules that require more disclosure of how Goldman is betting its own money when it markets investments to customers, and the power of Goldman's trading desks, which they're the ones that put together those toxic assets that were sold to the public as investments. They're going to be reined in.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people looking closely to see what Goldman tells us. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Today, that the President's Oil Spill Commission officially releases its report on the BP spill. Meantime, the oil industry's trade group, the American Petroleum Institute, has been rolling out a new ad campaign in Washington, D.C., touting all the jobs the oil industry creates. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Adrian Hill looks at how an ad campaign like this could impact regulation of oil companies.
Do ads about an industry's economic importance really grab people's attention? USC professor Ira Kalb says probably not.
I don't think these ads that I'm looking at are going to really do it, because, again, people are going to tune it out. We've heard it before and we don't believe it. It's got a credibility problem.
Kalb says we're exposed to an average of 20,000 ads a week. Those that don't stand out don't stand a chance. But Marissa Gluck from Radar Research says the ads are more about oil industry playing defense than anything else.
Even if they're coming under attack for environmental, economic, and social disruptions, they can always point to job creation.
And she says this ad campaign is targeting politicians who made a whole lot of job growth promises they now need to deliver on. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
The Japanese finance minister said this morning the government there will buy some European government bonds. That's sending stocks higher. London is up almost 1% right now. Paris up about 0.5%. Alcoa kicked off earnings season after U.S. markets closed yesterday with a strong forecast for the year ahead thanks to rising aluminum prices. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 37 points. It closed at 11,637.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
The CEO of Barclays Bank is on the hot seat this morning in London. He's taking flak from lawmakers over his multi-million dollar bonus. Big banker bonuses might make you angry, but they worry macroeconomists. That's because if the rich are getting richer while the poor are getting poorer, there's going to be a serious income gap. World Bank economist Branko Milanovic has just written a book called The Haves and the Have-Nots. He joins us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the United States. You write that income inequality here in the U.S. reached its trough in the late 70s, but has been climbing ever since then. Why is that happening?
Basically, one of the explanations is that there has been a change in technological progress, which actually puts much greater emphasis on high level of skills and ability of people to work with very expensive capital. So the premium for skills has risen, and consequently, the gap between those who have skills and those who don't has increased.
You might say that the countries that don't have as big of a problem with income inequality are communist countries like China. But you write that, in fact, economic leveling, as you call it, leads to stagnation and ultimate decline, that it's not so great to have perfect equality across the board.
Inequality is like cholesterol. I mean, you have good inequality. That would be inequality which would lead people to take risks, to actually work harder, to study more in order to make more money. But there is also bad inequality. That's inequality which actually cements the acquired position, which doesn't let poor people acquire education if they don't have money and so on.
As you've been writing this book, you've obviously spent a lot of time focusing on income inequality. As you look at the United States, what do you see for us going forward? Are we going to become more unequal when it comes to income or less?
I actually believe that the U.S. has now reached a point where actually it has to go down in terms of income inequality. It would tend to reduce top incomes.
Rich people are not getting richer. They're getting a little bit poorer.
Yes, they're getting a little bit poorer. Of course, poor people, also people who are unemployed, get poorer as well. So it's not an ambiguous thing. But on balance, I think actually the crisis tends to actually reduce slightly inequality.
Branko Milanovic is the author of the new book, The Haves and the Have-Nots, about income inequality. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And The Haves and the Have-Nots is up on our big book blog this morning. It's at marketplace.org. And finally, Chicago's commuter rail service will follow in the tracks of the busy trains here in the Northeast. As of yesterday, some train cars in Chicago will be quiet cars during rush hour, cars you can't talk in. One woman said she's relieved she'll no longer have to listen to strangers talk about their health problems. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Americans throw a lot of stuff away without really any motivation to stop.
Makes me think about an all-you-can-eat buffet as an all-you-can-throw-out trash and with no incentives for people to think about the cost of what they're doing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of Garbage, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.